takes and you kind of
push it.
Specific
heartbreaking fashion.
You stay up. 3 inches.
Raise 10-0.
Welcome to the Wags Imaginary Radio Show, a program that combines conversation with music, humor, discussing the political strategies of Woodrow Wilson, and the life and experiences of four struggling musicians.
So we're all music fans here. So I was thinking about the first time you started purchasing your own music. Like, what did you do? I remember I bought an album because that was the thing back then. Getting my favorite music on albums. And then after some time, it was cassette tapes. So I'll give the Beatles as an example because I'm a big fan. So I had a few Beatles albums, and then I decided, well, I better start getting them on cassette tape because the albums can scratch and blah, blah, blah. So then I bought their whole collection on a cassette tape, on cassette tapes. And then the CDs came out, and I was like, no, I'm done. I have all of their albums on cassette tape. Why am I going to go and get them on CDs? They're like records. It's going backwards in time. They can scratch, they can whatever. Well, I held out for, like, I guess a year, and then started purchasing them all on CDs. And then, I don't know, I guess a few years ago, I saw Super Audio CDs. And who knows what's going to be next. And the same thing with movies. Like, you know, you have your VHS tapes, and then you get your DVDs, and now you get your Blu-rays.
DVDs, don't forget those laser discs. Mm,
the
yeah.
size of...
Records.
Bigger. Those things were huge. Like, I got a movie, and you had to bring it with a hand truck, and it was huge.
You're right. It was
They lasted for so little time.
What was that called?
They were laser discs.
Oh, it was?
But they were 2 feet across. It looked like the biggest CD in the world. Because I didn't know how to cut to put that much information on it.
You had to flip it.
Really?
Yeah.
I never had one.
I've never even seen one.
I went to a friend's house once. And he played it. It was about, this one was about the size of an album, maybe a little bigger, I don't know. But after halfway in the movie, it said, please flip the laser disc.
Wow.
So, or put on the second laser disc or whatever it was. But I remember that. I never got any of those. They were, I guess...
we never had that either.
But anyway, at what point do you just stop?
Yeah, I like to still buy the CDs to have the, you know, the actual physical thing in my hand. But when it's just like a one-off song here and there, then I'll just download it from iTunes.
Then I go buy the Kasingle.
I have a couple of Kasingles, at least I used to.
Did you ever have a Kasingle, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
It was just heavily,
oh, just like one song on a tape?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should do...
I don't remember buying them. I just remember...
I did.
Just
I bought
acquiring them somehow.
Charlie would just take them.
I remember stealing them from various Sam Goodies across
no,
New Jersey.
Like, I don't know. Come in the mail or something for some reason. Maybe the music clubs. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
used to belong to Columbia House.
Yeah.
That
oh,
was
God.
So hard to cancel.
And you'd order like...
Did 100. You really have to mail in that f***ing penny?
Oh, I don't know, you get like 100 CDs.
Did you have to tape the penny?
And then you change your address.
Did you have to tape the penny to the thing?
And then they would send
yes.
you the CD. If you didn't specify which one you wanted, they'd send you one each month, and it was heck to have to send it back.
And here's a good example of that. We were, my family was members of...
Columbia House?
I don't know, one of them.
I was Columbia House.
And
send the penny in.
It was, like...
Remember, this is Brian. Did you send the penny in? Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, but he found it on the street.
Would you let me finish the story?
Go ahead.
It was like Alicia said. If you didn't say you didn't want the selection, they'd send it. So
unless you told them to send you a different one. But if you forgot or you didn't send
mm-hmm.
it in time or whatever.
Were they sent you random albums?
Well,
they
yes.
whatever
the one of
they
the month.
Picked.
Right.
Unless
oh, okay.
you told them, no, don't send me that, send me this one. But if you forgot to tell them...
And I gotta tell you, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because you end up getting like, I don't want this.
Right. And then to try to send it back is nearly impossible.
It is.
So this is what happened. This was my story. In the mail... Now, at this time, my family, we were moving. And in the mail, we got, I guess we forgot to send the card in or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it was my mom's membership. I don't remember. But
you're blaming it on her. That's nice.
I'm going to blame it on her. But Romancing the Stone VHS tape comes
nice.
In.
Ooh.
Brand new.
Good movie.
Sealed. Right?
Perfect.
$80.
Oh. What? I remember that wow. VHS when it first came out. Yeah, it was
$80.
Whoa.
No.
I think we just had a VCR at that time or whatever, but we were like in the middle of a move. We got to send it back. Forgot to send it back.
Ay, ay, ay.
And that was it. And then we didn't hear anything, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then we got the, I guess they found us or something, or it was like we were running away from this
from
video. And it ended up being, it was that and a Fats Domino CD, I think we had. And it was like we were breaking the law. So we would get these bills. They kept doubling the bills. And
interest on Romancing the Stone.
I couldn't even find, I sent back Fats Domino because I found that one, but I couldn't find the Romancing the Stone. Would you believe that, like, but well, they finally said, you know, all right, never mind, I guess, because VHS tapes are now, like, you know, $1 or whatever. But would you believe that, like, I found the Romancing the Stone VHS tape, like, 2 years ago and sold it at a yard sale? It was
for
still
$5?
It was still sealed for $1.
Yeah, ooh. I remember that. Wow.
That you took a loss. You took a hit on Romancing the Stone.
No, I never paid for it.
Oh, that's right, you stole it. I forgot. You made $1 on it.
99 cents.
99 cents. You sent him a penny.
Well, it wasn't my penny, but
that's funny.
Wow.
But
did you ever see that movie?
No.
It's a good movie. It's not a $60 movie, but that's just for nostalgia. You should rent it.
I was too afraid to open it.
Like, so you just sold it.
Well, I mean,
well, you're gonna go to the movie and you rent it now. You're afraid the cops are gonna come in. Oh no, you don't. Oh no, you don't. You think you got away
someone's
with it?
Someone's being hunted down.
Hey, Mugsy.
You're listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
Do you want to try the money machine, Bri?
Are we gonna call somebody?
No.
No. We're just gonna listen to this. This is the money machine, Bri.
But I want to play the game. I want
to
play the game.
All right. Just listen to this. If it's all not right. funny, we won't do it. This is a guy that Bri. You have to hear his message. There's another little 45 I bought at the flea market. The money machine.
It's on both
sides. Teaches you how to make money. Just put on side one.
Oh, and his name is Earl.
Oh. Earl!
Does he have legs?
He pronounces it oil.
You know, did you ever find, like, it's hard to get the needle. Oil. It's hard to get the needle on
the
record.
Put the needle on the record.
He's the worst DJ I've ever seen in my life.
I would be.
Hello, what's wrong with you? Okay.
Like I said.
All right, Sherry, can you take 33 and a third? I don't know.
It's not the size of the record that counts. It's the speed that you play it at.
You know what, Sherry, you can get it. Can you get it on the needle, the thing?
That's better.
Make it go.
I haven't been able to get it up. I'm sorry. I haven't been able to get it up.
Wow.
What?
Hello, this is Ryan Gale. Some time back, a friend of mine, Bud Irish, told me a story that affected me so deeply I haven't been able to get it out of my mind.
So
I don't know where the story originated, probably many years ago, according to Bud, but it changed my outlook on life. It caused me to make some quick and radical changes in my personal affairs, and simply because of this story, my family and I have an independence we didn't have before. I want to pass this story along to you, and I hope that it will affect you as deeply as it affected me, and will result in your achieving the same happy state in life that my family and I have. I want to tell you the story of the money machine.
Did it tell you how to build a counterfeit machine?
Yeah.
It's
highly illegal.
In your home, which each year would turn out a supply of money equal to your present income. Each month, all you'd have to do is go to the room where you keep your money machine and scoop up a sum of money equal to your present monthly income.
What is this?
In the years ahead, just as your income will increase, this money machine would turn out an increasing amount of money.
It's counterfeiting.
The money turned maybe out this machine would be official legal tender, which you could spend anywhere in the world. In your mind, get a mental picture of the sum of money this machine would turn out in 10 years. Now, this machine is free. It costs you nothing. And it can go on turning out this income every month for 30, 40 years, maybe
what's
more.
What's the catch?
I have no way of knowing what your present
you have to send a penny
is,
in.
Even without increasing it in 40 years, the number of years most men work, it comes to quite a sum of money. With the average working man, it would come to more than $200,000, nearly $250,000, a fortune. This would be quite a machine, yeah. This money machine, wouldn't it? But there is one small catch to it.
There we go.
You must keep this money machine in your house. You cannot put it in a bank vault for safekeeping, nor can you hire anyone to guard it. It must just sit there in the room you selected for it, turning out money every day.
The band room.
Now let me ask you this question, and in your mind, answer it as honestly as you possibly can.
Okay.
If you had such a money machine in your house, for how much money would you insure it? Now think a moment. In 10 years, it would turn out how much money? You can't keep it in a vault, you can't hire guards to protect it, and you have no assurance whatsoever that it will not break down at some future date.
It's like Brian's worst nightmare.
For how much money would you insure your money machine?
$10. American.
Such a machine could go on turning out this money for 40 years. It might be a good bet to insure it for at least 10 years' income, wouldn't it? Or as close to 10 years' income as you can afford, right? Saving. Well, I think most people will agree that this makes pretty good sense, since the cost of insurance is always small compared to the total coverage. Well, you have such a money machine.
My heartbeat.
It's the man of the house.
What?
This is the son.
Oh, yup.
Great.
Making the money. Get in the kitchen.
He turns up with a certain amount of money, month in, month out, year after year.
Yeah.
In 10 years, he'll earn what? How much? And the average man works for 40 years. How much money is that?
So I just keep you in a room and scoop up all your money, eh?
You're the money machine.
Infinitely more precious, more loved than any machine could ever be.
Just put a turtle in the room.
He really is, in fact, a money machine.
Oh, so you're insuring the husband?
Insure this machine, too. You can't
then
keep
you kill
him in a bank vault. You can't hire men to guard him. You can't even keep him in the house. Every day, he must go out and take his chances in what is at best an unpredictable world. Now, as honestly as you can, answer this question.
Okay.
How much do you think he should be insured for?
Oh, wow.
Answers? You're hesitating.
That's the story.
What the hell are we listening to?
The money machine.
It could have the same effect upon you. Answer the question, possibly for the first time in your life. How much is enough life insurance? The service it does render, and which can be rendered in no other way, is to replace, in the form of cash, income which may be lost at any time.
Cash.
What it does guarantee by contract and by law is to continue income which will be needed just as much with the head of the house out of the picture.
It's not the head of the house!
And for as long...
King of the castle, baby! Right,
the service it does render is to replace, in the form of cash from the big central a large sum of money, often out of all proportion to the small premium deposits, with which to provide for the economic side of a loss. Now, there's only one thing you know for sure about permanent life insurance. It must be paid.
This guy's a life insurance
Someday, sale. Sooner or later, yeah. It must be paid. It will either come to a family which will need it badly in the possibility of the head of the house being taken out of the picture, or you can arrange to have it come as retirement income.
Taken out of the picture.
Probability of the head of the house murdered. But the money must and will be paid by the company. There's no gamble involved, none whatsoever. Now, the question every thinking family must answer is, how much life insurance should I carry? We all insure our homes for their full value, our furniture, personal belongings, our cars. But how much is a man worth?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, since it's impossible to place a monetary value
pardon me
while
I go throw up.
I think the story of the man. I think the story of the man.
Oh, yeah.
I think the story of the man.
I did that from
I
over here.
I think the story of the man. I think the story of the man. I think the story of the man.
All right. You did that just to get on your nerves.
Let's go play the five-word game.
Right. Five-word play.
And now for some music from the WAG.
Did anybody ever ask?
Okay, wordplay five.
With my paper.
Five words.
All right, it's a quickie. Come on, we don't have much time. Wordplay five.
Yep. Okay. Tires. I picked tires because I had to get tires on a pickup truck. So that's why I picked tires.
Wow. Riveting. Riveting.
All right.
Okay.
Mine's even better.
What is it?
Glasses. I wear them.
Holy.
Maybe we shouldn't have started, Alicia. Maybe.
Well, it can only get better.
It can only get better, yeah.
The Great Pumpkin.
Oh, I like that.
It's almost Halloween, and I was thinking of the Great Pumpkin.
Say that. The Great Pumpkin.
Parakeet, because I got my parakeet last week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Would you call it?
Seven.
Why?
Favorite number.
Why?
Because what color
is it?
Green.
Like green?
Yeah, like a minty green and like a light gray on his wing, on his back.
My next word is Brian Mowry.
Oh, very nice.
It's a noun.
That's not a word. Good. That's a curse.
Yeah, it's a curse. It's a curse in name form.
Because I was thinking of...
You were thinking of Brian Mowry.
I was thinking of you, Bri.
Yes.
With all your hard work on this radio show. So, I said Brian Mowry. That's my second.
Okay.
My second word is sneeze, because it's all I've been doing all day.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. My next word is...
Work.
My next word is arg. Because when I was a kid, I used to dress up as a pirate.
Did you?
Mm.
For real? What, for Halloween or just no reason?
No, I just dressed up as August. What the hell?
So you were an arg.
No, for Halloween.
Oh, so you were sticking with a Halloween.
Well, I was thinking of Halloween, so.
Okay.
So it's arg?
It's arg.
Arg.
It's a noun.
My next one is tubing, because I went tubing last week.
Oh, you
mean? At the Delaware Water Gap.
My next word is television set, because I was cleaning out the garage, and I have a television set sitting in the middle of the garage that I've got to get rid of.
Isn't that supposed to go to my mom?
I believe it is.
All right. My next word is tape, like the tape adapter. I still can't get it to work on my car.
We're back to the tape deck. You can't repeat words.
Repeating the word again?
No, this one is just tape. But I thought of it because of my stupid tape adapter thing that I can't get to work in my car. I tried your trick this morning.
My word is magic light ESP. That's really my car. Oh, wait, we can't repeat words?
Shut up.
I'm sorry. My next word is Tony Orlando.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I was just doing research on Dawn. See, he was under contract with somebody. He was like a lounge singer. And then he was under contract, and they're like, here, sing this song, whichever one it was, not three times. And he's like, I can't, I'm under contract. So they said, well, just sing this song, and we'll call the band Dawn. So that's what they did. And then I guess he left his contract, and then the Dawn, the two girls that came next, they weren't singing on the first album. Oh, there you go. They weren't singing on the first album.
Oh, cool.
So then he started, and then it was Tony Orlando and Dawn, or Dawn featuring Tony Orlando. I thought Dawn was the two girls.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. What? It's the band name was Dawn, and then it was either Tony Orlando and Dawn when he became like the front runner or whatever, and then or sometimes it's called Dawn starring or featuring Tony Orlando.
Wow. Yeah, I thought that it was.
I thought it was the two girls, the girl from
Thelma Hopkins.
Yeah.
Why do I know that name?
She's an actress.
Yeah.
When I first heard that all together, I thought it was just like Tony and Dawn, like, you know, a guy and a girl, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it was two Dawns, and they were Dawn. But
then
it's
not. Their first names were both Dawn?
No. Oh. But the band was named Dawn.
Yeah, the band.
It was first called Dawn. That was it.
That's an interesting thing.
I just thought it was interesting. Tony Orlando.
So you picked Tony Orlando as your name?
Yes.
Word? That's funny, we both picked names.
Yeah. Brian Mowry and Tony Orlando.
This is going to be a good story. I can't wait. All right, Sherry.
Okay, my next one is Girl Scout, because this year I'm venturing into being not a co-leader, I'm downgrading a little bit, to a volunteer for a Girl Scout troop.
You get free cookies?
So, no, I don't think so. Maybe a discount.
Give me the mints.
It's everybody's favorite.
Sally Fields.
Oh, you with those cookie jokes. All right, what's your next word, Cookie Joke Man?
Ants.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was just part of my cleanup, my yearly cleanup, and outside I picked up a couple couple bags of mulch, and underneath it, oh my gosh, it was like a civilization. It was like so many ants. It was incredible.
Incredible.
And I've disrupted them. They're all like, oh no, the world has changed for us now. You know, so hopefully they found a better place to live. I don't know. But it isn't under the mulch bag anymore.
Good. Ants. All right, your next one.
Summer. Because it's my favorite season and it's almost over.
No. Pretty much over.
It sucks.
Don't say that I've done anything.
No. Bummer. My next word is Copacabana. Speaking of 70s, because I'm trying to figure out, see, the song was written for a movie or a play that never came to pass.
No, there was a movie.
There was a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so who got shot? Because she loses Tony, but does she lose him to jail? Or does she lose him to Rico? It's never explained in the song.
No, Tony gets shot.
Tony does get shot.
Yeah, Tony dies.
Okay, but in the song, they're not very clear about that.
Yeah, I think they're pretty clear.
She said, no, the only thing she says is she's
the chairs were smashed into, there was blood in the single gunshot.
Yeah, but who shot who? Then you go to the next chorus, verse, thing, and she says she lost her Tony. Then she lost her mind.
Right.
Is Tony in jail?
No, Tony's dead.
Are you sure?
Yeah. If you watch the movie, Tony's gone.
You watch the movie?
Do you own the movie?
I own the movie.
I know it.
Ooh.
We could watch it together, Brian, if you'd like.
Can we?
Yeah.
Hold hands?
We don't have to hold hands, but...
Popcorn? We'll segue right into Romancing the Stone?
It's a good
$60 version.
$80.
It
was $80. I sold it for $1. But,
Who's in it?
Barry Manilow.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Is he acting in it?
Yes.
Oh,
it's Tony.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
What? And it was good. And it followed the thing. That whole song was such a big hit for Barry Manilow. I mean, like, he wrote it, and it was such a story song, such a good song that they did make the movie about
but
it.
But was it the song first?
Yeah. I think the movie was first.
No, I don't know.
No, I think the screenplay for the movie was first. It said, write the song for
the theme song.
You think?
Right.
Yes, I'm almost positive.
All right, I'm not sure, but...
Well, I have to see the movie, because I wasn't sure if Tony died or he went to jail.
And I'm pretty sure he died.
All right, I'll see, watch the movie.
I don't think she'd lose her mind if he just went to jail.
Well, she could, but...
She drank herself half blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She lost her Tony, she lost her mind.
Still in that faded dress.
That she used to wear.
Or faded feathers in her hair. Okay,
all right. Copacabana. Copacabana.
And then my next one is Power Surge because of the entire Eastern Seaboard that went down last week.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone experience that?
Oh, no? Did we ever?
Yeah,
I stunk.
All right, your next word.
The great 1906 San Francisco earthquake.
Wow.
And why?
Well, I said that because there's been a lot of earthquakes around recently, and I just thought of that one, and I thought, wow, that was a massive one, so... Just stuck in my head.
Okay. Your next word?
Coffee! I don't know. You want some?
Nah, I think I'm all right.
I don't think coffee needs any explanation.
No, I'm flat.
My last word is spats. Because they don't make them anymore.
That's a shoe, right?
It's a cover for a shoe.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Like what?
What do you mean? It's a shoe?
It's like they used to wear them to protect us. The shoes were expensive, and it was just kind of like a spat. And it was just like a thing that you put over your shoes to protect your shoes.
It's a manly thing, huh?
Yes.
Okay. My last word is Buddha, because while I was in Frenchtown, I happened to go into a store in a remote area called Two Buttons, and inside they had Buddha everywhere. And it just so happens to be the owner of the store... is Elizabeth Gilbert, whose book I am currently reading.
Seriously?
Yeah, Eat, Pray.
Like, I read that. That was good.
Uh-huh.
That was really good.
Can we do my little thing?
Yes.
I like taking the words.
Oh, we're
and then hiding them. And then we make our story. with somebody else, possibly somebody else's words. All right, I've got them in order.
And one, you got smarter. We all have the same piece of paper, too.
Yes, I have, well, I'm still holding them under the table because, so you guys can't see. One, two, three, and four.
Two.
Four.
I want two.
All right.
Three.
All right, hold on. Who said four?
I did.
All right, you get this. Who said three?
Me.
Oh, Sherry got her own. Oh, and I got my own.
You want to switch?
Can I switch to Sherry?
Go yeah.
For it.
All
right. All right, Alicia, you start this week.
Give us a nice intro. Like.
Like what?
Well, like Sherry, the last time I think she said like a whole little three sentences or something like that. Set the story
something
up.
Something random. Doesn't have to be anything.
Yeah.
Fall is approaching, and soon all the little kids will be sitting out in their pumpkin patch to wait for the great pumpkin. Cha-ching. Cha-ching. Cricket. Cricket.
In order to see the great pumpkin, some of the kids don't have good eyesight, so they have to make sure they bring their glasses to see the great pumpkin. Cha-ching.
Can we do a little lively cha-ching here?
Yeah, because I can't. I didn't do good there.
Sorry. I think I just died.
So one of the little boys decided he needed to go home and get his glasses so he could witness the great pumpkin. And when he ran across the field to jump on his bike, both of the tires, cha-ching, on his bike had been stolen.
Egads, he thought. Who would steal my tires? So he contacted his other friend via cell phone, because that's what kids do now. And his other friend, Joe, said, you know what? It must have been Tommy, because Tommy's been looking for tires for days for his bike. You should go over to Tommy's house. And then he said, well, I don't know where Tommy lives. It's like, oh, we've got to go past the blue parakeet sign. Cha-ching!
Nice.
On the delicatessen.
But the little boy whose name, if you said it, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Sorry. He said, well, how can I get there? My bike tires have been stolen. Arrgh! Cha-ching.
So he found some tires, but they were all apart. So he taped them back together. Cha-ching. And put him on his bicycle. And proceeded to drive.
Ride
home to get his glasses.
No, to Tommy's house past the blue parakeet sign so that he could get
his tires.
No, he just taped his tires together.
He just gets got tires now. He's rolling.
So he's going.
He's going home to get his glasses so he can see the great pumpkin.
Okay, so he's on his way home to get glasses to see the great pumpkin. So he got the glasses and put them on, got back on his bike and pedaled to the field where all the other little boys awaited the great pumpkin. And when the great pumpkin arose from the field, it was no other than the great Brian Mowry. Cha-ching!
The great pumpkin.
Brian? Unfortunately, Brian was naked.
With his birthday suit.
All he had on was a tube because he had just come from the Delaware Water Gap where he went tubing and didn't expect the pumpkin patch to be filled with little children as he was passing through to go home to get his clothes. Cha-ching.
I'd like to know why he was tubing naked. As it happens, he was tubing naked because it was a tubing date with Tony Orlando.
Oh!
I said it.
Oh. And you thought we didn't do anything this summer. Cha-ching. What'd you do last summer?
Cha-ching.
Who did I do last summer? Tony Orlando. Twice on the pipe, baby. If you know what I'm talking about.
Well, it turned out that while they were Tony Orlando and Brian were tubing naked down the Delaware water gap, there was a bystander that happened to be
standing by,
and videotaping the event. And Tony Orlando had happened to acquire this tape. And one of the boys in the patch ran up, snatched the tape, got on his bike with tires on it, and they all followed him, and they went back home and watched this video on their television set. Cha-ching!
The sad thing was, as they were leaving, a group of Girl Scouts happened to walk by, and they did get a glance at Brian and Tony. Orlando. Cha-ching.
And the thing was, after they finished watching the videotape, then they put on this $80 videotape of the Copacabana cha-ching movie, and they knew all the words and all the dance moves. And the Girl Scouts witnessed all of it. Naked.
Ooh. So wait, I'm dancing with Tony Orlando naked to Copacabana?
Hey, I like the Copacabana.
I love it, apparently.
This movie is... Alright, go ahead.
So anyway, I'm dancing naked with Tony Orlando.
And
to the Copacabana with Girl Scouts watching. This is Exhibit A, by the way. You might as well just hand this to the prosecution.
It's all on video.
And I was feeling a little tired because, you know, Tony really... He runs you ragged. He don't stop, that guy. So I decided to drink some coffee to get myself... Cha-ching, to get myself all perky for Tony, because, you know...
That's how he likes him.
That's how he likes him. And so me and Tony Orlando, we saw the Girl Scouts, and we were ashamed of ourselves. We were ashamed of ourselves way before the Girl Scouts came. But we saw the Girl Scouts, and then we said, you know what, we better leave. So we ran up the hill, over the hill, and through the woods. And then we
started patting ourselves down all over the place because the hill that we happened to run up was an anthill loaded with fire ants. So now we're naked, we're running, we've got fire ants all over. So we just started doing a rain dance. Cha-ching!
Right. And then the power surge.
Oh no.
Hit. Cha-ching! Lights out. Everywhere. Pitch black. Brian drops his tube.
In the nick of time.
And the only thing that he was actually wearing for some unknown reason was a pair of spats.
Listen, when you tube with Tony Orlando, you bring
you
spats. Yeah, you wear what he tells you. Bring your spats. Yes, sir.
I just want to know how there was a power surge in the middle of the woods.
I don't know. It happens.
How come I ran out of words?
Or how they came live from the videotape. Okay.
Glasses, sneeze. I didn't use
sneeze.
Okay, so yeah. Sneeze. Okay, so what happened? I mean, wearing spats.
And nothing else.
And nothing else. So I sneezed. I was catching a cold, and the spats flew off, and they flew back across the lake, and hit one of the Girl Scouts right in the face. Oh. Cha-ching! And the Girl Scout, she was not happy because she got hit with my spats, and she ran back to the pumpkin patch, and then she proceeded to.
No. Wow. She proceeded to shake as if she were experiencing the great 1906 San Francisco earthquake. Cha-ching.
Awesome. That was good. I can't say that the whole story was good.
Well, you're not done.
You get to get ended.
One more. Oh.
Wrap it up.
It was at that point where Brian Mowry knew he had done wrong.
That it took him that long.
So he got on his knees and he prayed to Buddha. Cha-ching.
The end.
The end.
Oh dear.
All right, I'm gonna make this a quick sum up.
All right.
I had a date with Tony Orlando.
Okay.
Things went wrong.
Things went wrong, and I prayed to Buddha.
That's it.
You know, the Girl Scout cried, and she shook like it was a 1906 earthquake with a spat right on her face. The end.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Imaginary Radio Show. To hear our music and to download more Imaginary Radio Show episodes, please visit www.thewagband.com.